The first thing you have to do is go back to the first day. You have to acknowledge it. If someone has shared information with you, the best way to break rapport is not acknowledge it. So if we just go, oh, that's a shame. Anyway, back to my sales process, right? That's the fastest way to break rapport with somebody.
But generally, I'll acknowledge that and then try and cut it short. Is that probably
I think the best way to acknowledge it is through emotion rather than through words.
Yep.
So really, you know, if you just went, oh, you know, poor me for 20 seconds, oh, yeah, blah, 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 I go, wow, that sounds tough.
Yeah.
You hear I mean that. Or it's like, really? Like, oh, my God, that just happened now?
Yeah. So this morning mine was literally...
It's the second time. So it's a short phrase, but the connection emotionally is going to mean more to them than the words that you say. Got it? The second thing we need to do is the second A, ask. Your reflex response, when someone asks you a question, your knee-jerk response is to answer it. Listen, as human beings, we are mammals. We're carers and we're nurturers. We'll suckle our young. When someone's got a problem, we want to fix it, right? Our natural instinct is someone asks a question, we want to answer it. Answering it is the third A. If you answer someone's question straight away, what you are doing is training them that when they ask a question, you'll answer it. They ask a question, you'll answer it. Now, who has control of the whole conversation? Who's leading the conversation? They are. So if they ask for price, you can't deviate that you have to now give them price because you trained them when they ask a question, you'll just answer it. The key is to use an acknowledgement frame, right? So what I'm going to give you is a skeleton key. If someone, do you ever get people asking for price? Just quick show of hands if somebody asks for price early on, or what's the cost or how much is it? The first thing you want to do is you want to acknowledge it. So I'll give you a generic acknowledgement frame that you guys can tailor for yourself, right? And my, you know, hi Pete, how much is it for the Sales Accelerator program? Sure, Sean. Listen, I'd love to give you all that information. That's my acknowledgement statement. Sure. But you've got to say sure like it's no big deal, because they may have shopped three other businesses, got the runaround, got the I don't want to give you price thing, and now you cop all that frustration. It's not that they don't like you, they have had the price from someone else. So you get the baggage they're carrying with them. So all you want to do is go, sure, my pleasure. Love to give all that information. Key word here is information. Does everyone know what a skeleton key is? Skeleton key is a key that opens any door. If someone asks for price, is that information? If someone asks for facts and figures about your product or service, is that information? Yes. If someone asks for logistics, is that information? Any question that somebody asks, there's this one word, it's like an umbrella that covers everything underneath it. You use the word information. If you said to me, Sean, how much is it for? And I said, sure, I'd love to give you the price. Now I'm locked into having to give price. But if I say, sure, Sean, I'm happy to give you all the information. Now I've just said I've pre-framed, I'm going to give you all the information, of which price is one of the things. What that does, it lowers buyer's resistance 10 degrees straight away. It buys you another 60 seconds. You're not going to avoid it, but you're just buying yourself time to lower resistance some more so then price isn't the biggest challenge. Can I make it very clear before I get you to ask that question, Sean? Price is simply a conversation starter. People ask for price because they don't know what else to ask. Think about it. I don't know you. I've never met you before. I'm going to ring you up. I'm going to send an email. I'm going to say something face-to-face, and I'm not going to go, oh, hi, Sean, how are you going? How's your weekend? I don't know you. So I'm going to use the most comfortable conversation starter, and that's usually a red brain logical question. How much is it for? Can you tell me about? What are the specs on? Give me the details for. It's some sort of logical red brain question is the easiest conversation starter. It also, it's my protective barrier I put around me to not be sold to. The barrier comes up with a high level of resistance. The lower resistance means they give you less barrier statements. Got it? So sure. And you're gonna say sure like you mean. It's like, yeah, sure. Like, why wouldn't I give you the price? Sure, let's give you all the information. Then we ask. The best way to deviate and deflect and lower, not deflect, but lower buyer's resistance and get them accepting is to do an introduction. Sure, Ari, let's give all that information. As I mentioned, my name's Ari. Who am I speaking to? Pete. G'day, Pete. Pete, thanks so much for reaching out. See what I've done there? I've gone back now to the beginning. They've started the conversation here. I've gone straight back. Sure. Thanks so much for reaching out. Hey, before we start, do you mind if I ask what made you reach out today? Now you've got control back of the conversation because you're asking questions. Through the questions that you ask, you'll then know the best way to answer that question. And that's the third A. You don't answer until you've got enough information to know the best way. And the answer might be booking an appointment. It might be giving a range of price if you have to. So we acknowledge, we ask, then we answer. If you give people the answer straight away, you've just, like, they've had no reason to talk to you anymore. And then what you, probably the worst thing you've done is train them to bombard you with more logical red brain questions. You then have to answer them. If you don't, then it feels like you're avoiding it, and that's when it becomes salesy. And we get ourselves into this tangle in this web. And it happens in network marketing a lot, right? People, you know, one thing that frustrates me about network marketing is people don't tell you it's network marketing. Like, what the fuck have you got to hide? Like, be upfront about it. Like, is this network marketing? Well, let me talk you through it first, because once you understand it, you'll know, like, just fucking, is it or isn't it? Like, so you want to acknowledge it, right? It's like, sure, let me break it down completely for you and give you all the information about it. Like, now I've just said, I'm going to be totally transparent. Does this make sense? Embrace the component of acknowledgement. You will lower buyer's resistance massively. Okay? You know, how much is it for a membership? How much is it for this? Sure, I'd love to give you all that information. My name's Pete. Who am I speaking to? Oh, it's Richie. G'day, Richie. Mate, thanks for reaching out today. What, before we start, just so I know exactly which information to give you, what made you reach out? Oh, listen, I've just been and I'm looking at and I'm thinking of and, okay, great. And just sort of how much information to give you. How much do you know about us, or have you been here before? Do you know much about us? Like, how did you find out about us? Oh, a friend of mine goes to your trainings and I've been thinking about losing weight and I joined the gym, but that sucked and I always start diets and I never finish them. And then all of a sudden I just start volunteering information. Okay, great. Well, because you kind of know a little bit about us, the friend of yours is in our programs, why don't I tell you what we'll do today? Frame up. I know I kind of answered four questions in one there, but does that help kind of put things into context? I'm going to do a lot of role plays in these things, because if you can hear me role play different scenarios and situations, it can make you think of, oh, shit, that's relevant to me. Sometimes, you know, one out of five, I'll get that scenario happen as well. Does that help how we dance with those price stuff initially and give you more clarity how you can utilize the three A's? Just give us a nod or a thumb up if that's cool. Beautiful. Good, good, good. All righty. Now let's hear some stuff that you guys have done now. I don't mind who goes first. Maybe Ari, do you want to go first? I can see you've mapped out a lot already, and it might help others put into context as well. So I'll give you the floor, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks, Peter. I'm just going to look on the Facebook group.
Logging into that right now as well.
Okay, so guys, I just wrote out a little script, which is my usual conversation I have with clients. Do you guys want me to read it out, or have you read it in the Facebook group?
Let's read it out.
I'll read it out. Okay, so usually for an inbound call, it's hello, thanks for calling the Fatloss Manifesto. This is Ari, and I'm put our client as John. Hi, Ari, this is John. Hi, is that John, is it? Yes, that's right. John, great to meet you. And then I'll pause. And which usually brings back, great to meet you too, Ari. John, before we begin our session, what made you reach out to book the call? So I'm at a stage where someone's downloaded my lead magnet. They booked in a call with me to have a Zoom session like we're doing now.
Yes.
And it's usually I've been struggling to lose weight, which is primarily what I do. And then
I think one thing here, and this is something I think is really good for everybody, and you've probably got this 95% right. I think this one little thing could just make it just perfect. Did anyone watch me do a video of why I think icebreakers don't work, just on my personal Facebook page maybe about 2 weeks ago?
Yes, I saw that, I think. Yeah. I think you were talking, about just jumping straight to business.
Yeah. Does anyone know what I mean by icebreaker, or that fake rapport that people do at the beginning? Oh, hi, Pete. How are you going? Good. Great. How's your weekend? How's your weekend? Like, it's just that unless you know someone, it's not fake, right? But if you don't, then it's like, I can see what you're doing and they actually feel it. The customer feels it. And the most uncomfortable part is then the transition back to business. It's like, oh, great. How's the weekend? Yeah, good. Awesome. All right. So, and then you've got that awkwardness, you know, like that uncomfortable silence, so to speak, that pregnant pause of getting back to business again. And all you're doing is just increasing buyer's resistance. So what I'm a big fan of, the best way to build rapport with someone is to not build rapport. Now, I know that's quite counterintuitive, right? What's the definition of rapport? The definition of rapport is a feeling of mutual commonality, when you feel you got something in common with someone, right? So it's the feeling of it. So if I'm like, hey, no BS, let's get straight to it, and you're like, yes, that's what I'm on the call for, to get straight to it, that's more connective. There's more rapport there. It's more real. So one thing I'm big on doing is, you know, thanks for calling. So Ari, if they've booked in a call with you, are they calling you or are you calling them?
They're calling me, but this is something I want to change.
Okay, so if they're calling you to book call and they've called you, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't mind that, because what that is doing is turning them into the chaser and you're the chasee. Do everyone understand that concept?
Yep.
So yep. You can give them little hurdles to jump through. A Calendly link for them to book in a time to see you, it's now them chasing you, not you chasing them. Got it? Little things like that. I've even got someone to, great, can you send me a calendar invite for our session? If they send me the calendar invite, they have more control than them wanting to chase me. So I want you to just trial these things for each of your businesses. These are all these little strategies that just lower buyer's resistance wherever we can. So in this scenario, thanks for calling the Fat Loss Minister, Manifestity. Sorry. Oh, hi, Ari. It's Peter calling. Oh, is it Peter, is it? Yeah. Pete, hi, how are you going? Good, mate. And say, it's great to put a voice to the name. Mate, why don't we get straight to it?
Brilliant.
But, and I'll just add in there, why don't we get straight to it? So rather than it's just, you know, I would say, hey, it's great to meet you. It's like, it's great to put a voice to the email or a face, if you're doing a Zoom call, a face to the voice if you spoke over the phone. Why don't we cut straight to it? Yeah, that'll be great. Now they've accepted to start. Mate, now before we start the session, what made you reach out and book in for our session? I would call it a session. A session has more value than a call. A call is known as a sales call. A session has more emotional value and more perceived value.
Cool.
So wherever possible, guys, change your language from session, from call to session. Beautiful. So what made you reach out for the session? So start from there. I've been struggling with.
Okay. Yep, I've been struggling with losing weight. So I'll pretty much frame it up and say, so this has been a bit of a challenge for you. So I'm reiterating in their mind that it has been, it's an existing issue. It's not something that's just happened. I'll usually get a yes out of that. And then I've written up, I'm curious, how much do you know about the results that I get? So I'm throwing in the word results as well.
Yeah.
And
but what you can do there is, yeah, how much you know about why so many people are reaching out to me and the results that they're getting.
Fantastic.
And then framing up that people reach out to me and the results we're getting together. It's like it's you and me together. When you say I, it's me and you're separate still. You're on the outskirts. I want to bridge that gap and bring it together as quick as I can. So we want to use inclusive language as opposed to exclusive language.
Awesome. All right. Actually, I'll watch this back later on. Usually, I've seen your videos, read some of your emails. I've also seen some of the other people's results on your website too. And I'll be like, okay, perfect. Because you've seen what I do, I want to make sure you've grabbed a copy of the 10 body hacks to get you learner faster, which is it's how they got to me to begin with. So I know that they have it.
Yeah.
And then I'll bring in, do you remember doing that?
Great.
And I'll say yes. And then I'll go, okay, take me back to when you downloaded the book. What were you feeling? You mentioned you were struggling with your weight. What were you feeling about yourself at that moment? Because the key issue is how they feel about themselves. It's not really the body. It's how a person really feels about themselves. So I'll hit on that as soon as I can. It's usually not too great. And then I'll say, I'll take it, this has been going on for a while. So I will reiterate that again, that this is not an our issue. This has been an issue that's been bothering the person for a while.
Yep.
And then that I think that kind of gives me permission to say, okay, let's finally put this to bed.
Yep. Now, I one thing I want everyone to be too wary of is if we jump into the meat of the phone call too quickly, it's almost like we've dated. This is our first date. We've kissed. We've made out. And now I want to meet the parents. Like, you're almost rushing it. You can almost rush the sales process too quickly. And then people get excited in the moment. Then it's like, whoa, this has just happened so fast. So what I mean by that is I think you have permission to do your frame up a bit earlier, because some of the stuff you're getting into is really important in step three qualification. And I don't want to do too much qualification, lose the momentum, then have to come back to that again.
Okay.
Cool. What you want to do is you want to build instead of going up and down, up and down, up and down. It's just a slow build. Think of a good song, right? It starts and it builds and there's a big crescendo. The crescendo is when they want to buy emotionally. So I think you could, because you've asked a good thing about, so has this been a bit of a challenge for you just recently? Has it been like that for a while? So I've been struggling to lose weight. Has this been a bit of a challenge? And I like the word challenge. That's a really good pre-frame. Has this been a challenge for you just recently? Has it been like that for a while? I think that's good for them to say, no, it's just been recently. And you can say, okay, great. So are you worried it's going to stay like that for a while? You don't want to get worse? Or that's been like that for a while? Great. And it sounds like you're kind of over that. Yeah, I so am. Great. So I know how much information to give you. How much do you actually know about us and the results we get? Is it just from the 10 body hacks that you got? And I would combine that into your how much you know about us question. Is it just from the 10 body hacks get you lean faster, or do you know anyone else that's worked with me and got the results? No, it was that book, and I read that, and it really resonated with you about it. Oh, this, and this. Okay, great. Well, because you know a little bit about me, you've read the book, let me tell you what we're going to go through today.
Brilliant.
And then I'll go straight into the frame up. Who can see he's already, there's been a good 20-30% shift in loan buyers' resistance just in that process of them volunteering, them feeling comfortable, acknowledging where they've come to, and building a bit of trust with you at the same time.
That actually feels, I should feel a lot more comfortable with everything you've just said, because you've put that back into the buyer's hands, as opposed to what I've said, which was, so you've been struggling with this for some time.
Yes.
Me telling them, I can already see now that after I've said that, I can already see that this would put the person on the back foot.
Yeah, and it could just raise resistance a little bit and go, oh. Yeah. And remember, when you ask closed questions, that's when someone says yes or no, you force them into those. Open-ended questions or alternative choice questions give opinions and their own personal feedback. So in your capacity, let me just change that a little bit. Has that just been like that recently, or has it been going for a while? That's more of a sharing question.
Great.
Love it.
Awesome.
Who wants to go next? Did that help? Again, take that from you, put it into context. Mr. Brett.
Yeah, can I jump to the three pillars? Is that something we're kind of focusing on now, or are we still in this?
You can. You can if you want to. This session predominantly is going to be three pillars we're going to do next Monday.
Okay. I thought that was the homework for this session.
No, the homework was introduction. Thursday,
introduction.
Two, which is frame up. Next Monday, the three pillars. But if anyone else wants to go through three pillars, like, I'm more than happy to touch on that now, because that just gives you an extra week to work on it for next Monday.
I don't want to take away from someone who wants to kind of work on the introduction. So if there's someone who wants to work on the introduction, I can wait.
Cool. Let's bank that. And at the end, I can do a quick cap on that as well, because I do want to recap the next two sessions at the end of this session.
All right.
Beautiful. Would anyone else like to work through their introduction? David, go for it, my friend.
You've actually got Thomas here. David's next to me, but...
yes.
he's still here. What I actually want to talk about in regards to the introduction is the overall sales process. We're switching from having a sales process that isn't scalable in terms of we need to have a sales team that can be anyone, as you say, it needs to be anyone can convert at a reasonable rate. But the challenge we have is that in the past we've used our SMEs who do our service delivery to do that sales process. I'm now in the position where I am not a specialist in the area of delivery, for the type of clients that we have, that I will be designing and driving this. So the concept that I've come up with is to actually take the different sources of our leads and split them out so that the sources that we have been getting traditionally, which has been referrals and industry referrals or client upselling and those types of things, would go to an SME, and then our new marketing lead would come through to someone like myself who we apply this new scalable model to grow. And I just wanted to get some feedback on whether that's a good idea or whether there's any other ideas about how we approach that.
Yeah, good question. I'm a big fan of segmenting where leads come from. I think we live in a world now of personalization. People really want relevance to where I am at the stage that I'm at.
Yep.
And I think that's the biggest mismatch we have in marketing. That's the biggest mismatch we have in our sales funnels. It's the biggest mismatch we have that causes objections, is that we're not coming in. People don't feel like that you are at the same level that I'm at.
Yep.
Well, if we can match their level, and that sometimes that means matching level of experience, understanding, all those types of things, right? That is probably one of the biggest indicators initially to go through. So if you've got a lead coming through from a referral, right, they're going to be ideally, should be more qualified.
Yeah, they normally are, yes, but, and potentially bigger average value as well in terms of sale.
Yes. Yeah, so I think segmenting that is really, really important, and putting the process around that component. Now, when you say the SME component again,
so typically in the past, we've had people who deeply understand the client problems, who have experience in the area that we deliver a service of consultancy on, doing the sales activity. So actually taking someone through the point of being a lead through to signing a contract for service delivery. We're changing that because we can't scale without having an independent sales team to actually go through that process, and I'm leading that process, and I don't have the SME experience. I know about consulting, but not about the deep, intimate knowledge of our clients.
Yes. There's two aspects, right? For me, I have found it easier in the past to get someone with less product knowledge experience and teach them that. But someone who's got a really good communication or sales model that they can follow, you can learn the tech stuff. Sometimes getting someone who's very technically minded to not be technically based and learn the communication or the scalable sales system model can take longer.
Yep.
So if you can put together a framework of internal training to learn, and I believe you only need to know 30 to 50% of something to sell it. I honestly believe, like your mobile phone, how much of that mobile phone do you know the functionality of it before you buy it?
Yeah, I know. I could sell mobile phones straight away without doing any research or training.
You don't even know 10%. I'm reading stuff now about this shortcut on my Apple iPhone, and he can use this. And we're like, you don't know. You buy it because of the 10% of it that's relevant to you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So the problem we get into is we sometimes we're too scared because we don't know everything about the product. I honestly believe 80% of the time when I go into a business and personalize the sales process for them one-on-one, a new employee that starts usually goes through a rapid rise of sales success, and then at the 3 to 4 month mark, I usually find a dip. In fact, you guys haven't read the book, The Dip. Get it and read the book, The Dip.
Yeah.
Right? I read it and I'm like, my God, this is exactly what I've experienced for 25 years, right? Because what happens is when you don't have a lot of product knowledge, you sell from emotion, not from features. Because you don't know the features, so you can't brag about the product. And then the more you know about the product, you go into tell mode. I remember up in Queensland, there was a gym in Brisbane, in the city, in Queen Street, and it was doing a pre-sale. And we had a little office in a shed next door to the gym, right, and we were selling memberships 12 weeks before the gym opened. 2 weeks before the gym opened, we could start doing what we called hard hat tours, where you get on a hard hat and we could tour you through the gym. Before then, do you know what the tour was? We had a life fitness book, right, that said, now, this is going to be the cardio room, And this is a picture of the bike that's going to be in the cardio room. And we show the picture of the bike. This is the spinning room. This is the picture of the spins. We're going to have a boxing room. These are the boxing bags and the focus mitts. And literally from a book, we would just show this is what the equipment's going to be. And they were closing at 75 to 85% of the time without seeing a gym. When the gym opened and they could actually show them the gym and show them the spin room and the boxing room, conversion rates dropped to 46% in like a day. Because they were getting the equipment, the gym, the features to sell, try sell itself. Right? This is why when I showed you the video, it's not about the nail. Hands up, everyone remembers that video. It's not about the nail. Please have that embedded in. I'm thinking about the book I'm writing to call it. It's not about the nail. It's not about your product. It's not about your service, right? It's got nothing to do with that. So if you can learn the technical SME stuff, nail this, you'll probably have a quicker success rate and make it more scalable than get someone who's technically minded to do it that way. Now, just to put a caveat, I have seen some technically minded people with a really good system embrace it very quickly. It just takes a good training component and obsession about the communication skills to do
okay.
it.
Okay, well, that's great. Thank you, Pete.
Does that help, mate?
Yep.
Good. Awesome. Who else likes Barry? Quick question.
I just had a quick question on what you were just saying. Is there a big aspect to getting someone to visualize and use their imagination when it comes to making a decision?
My golden rule is you have, I believe you have six senses, but the world will tell you you have five senses, right? The more senses you get involved in a presentation, the more easy it is for the brain to make a decision.
Cool.
Right? If I bring you a plate and on this plate there's a silver lid and a dome, you know, like a little fancy posh silver thing, and there's food, and I say, here's your food, you'll go, oh, you're curious. Because visually you got this nice silver tray, it looks posh, right? Now, what if I bring you that, but the lid is now clear and you can see the food in there. And on that plate is some sizzling garlic prawns. So, yeah, you can see it. You can see the colour. You can probably see the bubbles of it sizzling, right? Are you feeling a little bit more hungry right now?
Yeah.
What if the next lid comes out and there's little holes in the top of the clear lid and you can smell the garlic coming through? Now you can see it, you can smell it. Are you feeling a little bit more hungry now?
I'm feeling like going down the road and getting some sizzle and garlic.
What if I take the lid off and you can start hearing the crackling of the sizzle? You can really get the odour coming into you. You can see it. You can feel the heat come off it. Other people are now watching it's been delivered to you. So the ambience and the kinesthetic of the room. Now how freaking hungry are you? So the more senses the brain has involved in the decision-making process, the easier it is for the brain to want it. Guys, if you're talking about an ebook, hold up an ebook in your hand. If you're on stage and you've got this checklist, Brett, that changes the life for every practice manager to make it not dependent on the owner, hold up the checklist in your hand. Like, make it tangible, make it real for them. Physically have it. Anything that they can touch, feel, taste makes a huge difference. I think I told you this. I told you a story about in the gym I used to get people to hold the weight. I did this test, right, where at the bottom of the stairs, the last gym I opened up in Joondalup, there was this, the reception was downstairs. We do a bit of a qualification, find out their pain points, and I go upstairs and take them for a tour of the gym. I would put it at the top, base of the top of the stairs, I would put a 5 kilo dumbbell, right? And I did this when I had a bad back once. And I actually asked someone, I said, can you just pick up that dumbbell for me? And as we go to the free weights area, we'll just pop it down there. I'm just going to sore back. And they would pick it up and they would carry it around the whole gym. And I accidentally forgot to tell them to put it down. We walked back downstairs into my office and they still had the 5 kilo dumbbell in their hand. And they went, Pete, what do you want me to do with this? And I went, oh, shit, I completely forgot. And they put it down. And I went, oh, God. And I said, how did it feel to lose 5 kilos? And they went, oh, fuck, like, and then I just started doing it on purpose. I purposely started doing it because I used to try and test little things all the time, what worked, what didn't work. And I'd take them to the gym and I said, put that down. And go, how did it feel to lose 5 kilos? And they would giggle. They're like, that's the reality of it, right? You walked around for a minute and you felt like you're carrying a lot of weight. Well, imagine if you lost 5 kilos from where you are right now. So, yeah, the more senses you have in the presentation, the easier it is for the brain to make a decision. Anyone else like to go through their introduction? It's okay if you don't. It's okay if you want to go away and play with it. Does anyone else want to go through and share what they've got, ask a question about it so they can tweak it and finalise it?
Can I ask a quick question? What happens if it's you, and you may have already said this, so I'm sorry, but if it's you, like, for example, on Instagram, people just like posts and stuff that are relevant to our industry or, you know, things about, you know, changing your life or whatever, and I'll message them on Instagram. How do I do this when I'm the one messaging them first?
Love it. So the proactive approach, right, when we reach out. One of the strategies you can do, you know, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, whatever social media platform you're using, right, you want to create engagements. You know, one of the rules is you want to engage with others. So if someone likes you, find them. Engage on their posts. Have a conversation. The best way to be known is to engage, right? So if someone's liked you, or I know sometimes you do it, you know, you do a live and someone might hit the like button or the love button or they like something. I'll just go and go, hey, thanks for the like. Love to hear what resonated with you. Ask them. But notice what I did, I asked an open-ended question. Any question that starts with one of the five W's or the H, who, what, where, why, when, or how. Hey, thanks for tuning in. It's really great to have you online. I always really see the support you have there. I'm glad when I spoke to you, my resonated. Love to know, you know, the key thing that resonated with you most. Love to know what stood out the most. Love to know what hit you the most. Love to know what your next action is going to be. What can you do to engage them in that type of conversation? So start with that, and that'll be your starting point. You might want to use the first A in acknowledgement. Like if someone's like me, I might check out their LinkedIn, their Instagram, their Facebook, acknowledge something. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I just quickly jumped to yours and watched so many videos. I think they're really, really cool. Or I just noticed you got a lot of experience in. Love to know what resonated with my live, with my post, with my video, with my whatever it was. So you can make an acknowledgement statement. Often the more research you do, the easier it is to lower resistance because now I feel like that you've connected with me. You've taken the time to connect with me. Does that help, Kat? Love it. Ari, you going to mention something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say what Kat was asking. I had some good results with Instagram Live and I would see who would watch till the end. So I've done a couple of pretty long 10-minute videos, cut them up into 15 seconds and you can actually see who's watched till the end, and then I DM each person and say, hey, thank you so much for watching. I'd love to know what you got out of it. And it opens up a great, great way to open up a conversation.
Perfect. So that's a perfect example of the first A in ALF, in the three A's, is acknowledging. Acknowledging they watched the full video. One of the things that people don't have in their life is people who acknowledge them. There's a big gap. And if you can give them that this connection, all of a sudden it's like, man, this guy or this girl, she's with me. And it's such an important thing to build. Brilliant. Who else would like to go through anything of their intro or are we all pretty comfortable?
I've got a sec. Obviously I'm in an industry, I'm like in construction and I do traffic control. So it's very price sensitive. It's a labor type of industry where they look at the cheapest price and things like that. So we're like a cost to the company. They call in, they have a good chat, and then later on I'll always want a fee proposal. Can you send me a proposal, rates or schedule of rates or things like that? So I moved away from the single PDF document with my rates. I moved towards it's called a quote roller system. It's an online system where it's a quoting system.
Yep.
Yeah. And I noticed it's a good platform because it builds trust, like before you show them the price at the end. And, you have your introduction. And the way I built it is I introduced my company on the first. What it is, you click on the link. And then it goes through the stages of the sales process, you could say.
Yep.
And then it goes, introduce myself, and then I show my accreditations, things like that. So I'm building some type of story towards what type of service I do. And then I show them a couple of videos of what we do, my equipment, the quality of the equipment, the new equipment, things like that. And right at the end, I show them the rates. Like it's probably the last pages. And on the last pages, through every stage, every time they've clicked, I can get an analytical report on how long they've spent on each page, on my video page and all my rates and that. And I've seen it works good and it sits there and you can see them sit on the rate section for like 15, 20 minutes and that. And then I'll get them my terms and conditions and then I'll sit there for 5-10 minutes. And then you don't want to be too pushy when to follow up on a call, like to see how you went, because I already know what they've done pretty much for all the stages and what they've looked at. And I get a good conversion rate on it. Like it gives you conversion rates as well, like to see if they accept it and things like that. I don't know if there's anything more I can add to it, especially in my industry. I'm trying to build my point of difference in my sales pitch through this is what I've got these OH&S qualifications and that's why I'm at this price point.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, cool. You've asked a couple of questions which we'll uncover in the next 2 weeks going through, because you've asked questions about step 4 and step 3 and also step 5.
Okay.
What I will answer though in context of what we're doing for this session right now is your frame up is so critical for what you do. Yeah. What we need to understand is the introduction lulls at 30 degrees. The frame up lulls at another 30 degrees. If you do that right, it gives you more permission to do other stuff and to charge you more. But your frame up about when you tell price, if you can tell them when they're going to do price and when price will come up in the frame up and get them to agree to it, price won't be an issue. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever been more expensive than a competitor and still won the job?
Yes.
Yes. And I'll ask the question to everybody. Have you ever been more expensive than a competitor but still won the job? And if the answer is yes, the next question asks why. What was it that made them go with you and not be price sensitive?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't ask that question. Why do you, I should ask the question, eh? Like, I don't know.
If you don't know the answer to that, you need to ask. Yeah. Like, I went to a stage where I pride myself on being the most expensive. And I always say, what made you choose me? And one of the first things, the top three answers consistently always came up was, you're the first one who got back to me. When I was the quickest, most efficient, the fastest, it gained trust. Speed gains a lot of trust. So that was one thing that worked really, 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 really well, right? But then it gave me other reasons. It was a bit out of the budget, but we just felt more confident you would deliver it, or your experience level. They'll start giving you insight into what you now need to amplify in your presentation. If you're doing a tender process, normally there's between 3 to 5 criteria on how they measure the tender. So, for example, price could be 25% of the tender. Ability to deliver work in a set timeframe could be 25% of the tender. Amount of experience that you have in the industry could be 25% of the tender. The equipment that you use could be, and they usually break down 100% of how they pick you, and they give you a ranking system and they weight it accordingly to what weight's important to them. For some people, budget could be 50% of the tender. If you can find out how they match up their metrics, it's just their decision-making process, right? But in a formalized tender process, if you know those metrics, I'll try to fight and find out what those metrics are as well. But if you've done the phone call right and built lowered resistance enough, they're going to give you more detailed information which can help you tailor your quote-unquote roller width.
Yeah.
Got it? It's about getting more so you can tailor more so you can they can feel like they're getting more value from you. So your frame-up's got to be, great, well, now that I've got this, what we're going to do is, and you want to amplify when in the frame-up you're going to go through price.
Yeah, I think I've got the standard template sort of. It's good now. I should just customize different types of templates to the reaction or what they're talking about in the conversation originally. So you can just manipulate it a little, yeah.
Perfect. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. I never thought of that, yeah.
Good. Awesome. That's great. Guys, next session, we're going to go through the frame up. So what I want everyone to bring with them is if you use a link from introduction, but because you know this much about us, this much experience, let me tell you what we're going to go through in this session. And you shouldn't have more than 4 to 5 steps in the most in your process. Get it between 3 to 5. Right? Get it between 3 to 5. What we're going to do is, and I want you to map out the frame up of what's going to happen in the process. The last step in your frame up has to be, how does that sound? They have to agree to it. We've got to get agreement at the end. Right? Ideally, as sloppy as it looks, as abbreviated as it is, even if you just bullet pointed it, that's better to bring that. Then it doesn't have to be script perfect. That's fine if it's not script perfect. But please just bring with you as much as you can of that. So what we did, we talked about mapping out your customer journey sales cycle. So what happens at the beginning, right? Do you sit down and have a telephone call? Do you sit down and have a face-to-face? Do you then go away and you have to create a solution? Do you then come back and present that to person one? Do they have to get you to a decision maker and present it to person two? Do they have to give it to a board? Is there a follow-up time? Do you do a telephone call first or a Zoom call? Then do you do a face-to-face and try to make the decision right then and there? Just map out your customer journey cycle. That's the first thing you want to bring to that session. What are the touch points that we have right now? Some of you should have done some of this in your pre-work before our first session, which is one of the reasons why I got you to do the pre-work, so you can bring some of this stuff to these sessions that I can spend a lot of time doing it. But map out your customer journey cycle, even if it's just in bullet point form, and then see if you can condense that customer journey cycle into 3 to 5 steps, just summarizing it into 3 to 5 steps. Everyone comfortable with that? Yep.
I put some solutions can be just direct bang, bang, you're done on the phone and finished. Other solutions, you need to go away and get a solution. You're right, there's 2 separate sales journeys?
Yes, you might go step 1, step 2, step 3, 3, 4A, 4B. Because 4A might go away, create, come back. 4B might be present right then and there, get a decision. So you can, yeah, you can, the top two might be the same, then it might split into 2 categories, or it might be 2 different completely funnels altogether. Like if you get an email lead, it might, the frame up on that might be phone call first, then face to face, then decision. If it's come through a telephone or a face to face, it might just go straight through call, decision. So it just depends where the lead source comes from. So you might need 2 separate ones, or you might have the first part is the same, then it might split into 2 after that. Either way is fine. But what I love about what you said, if it's slightly different, tailor it accordingly. All good? Love it. Any other questions? Brilliant. Thumbs up. Was that helpful? Are we glad we got on this session today? Is it just taking that one step further? Awesome. Good stuff. Guys, as you write some of these up, jump into the Facebook group. Write in, if this is a section, how do you think this wording goes? This is my 4 steps. This is my 5 steps. Cut and paste your customer journey. Just the more we share, the more we can look at it, the easier it's going to be for you to look at other industries and tie it up for you at the same time, which would be really, really cool. Again, any successes that you have, jump in the Facebook group. Hey, guys, just use this and it worked. And that's more so other people can say, that part is working really, really well. How well am I using that in mind? Do I need to add a bit more to it? Okay, so don't see it as a brag fest. Just see it as, hey, I'm sharing what's working because this is a result. Again, and also if you're getting a challenge with something, put it in there as well, and I'll go in there and answer as much as we can. Or it also gives me context for how to structure the agenda for our next call. All good? You're a sexy bunch. Look at you. Can't wait to see you guys on Thursday. Rock and roll. All good. If you've anything, send me an email, private message me. Otherwise, put some time into your calendar to work through this process. What I'd like you to do, and I'll send an email or I'll do a post in the Facebook group, can you please bring your stats that you use to measure your success rates right now? It could be calls, appointments done, appointments showed, conversion percentage. Can you bring what your stats were before you started last Monday in the Sales Accelerator program? And maybe if you've had any like calls for the last week, what's week 1 stats? I want to bring stats for week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4 through the program, right? Even if it's the number of calls that you make, number of presentations that you've done, and if you haven't done any, because some of you guys have a longer sales cycle, that's fine. But at least bring, hey, my conversion rate before the program was this. The amount of calls I made was this. The amount of contacts I made was this. The average dollar per sale was this. I know that Richie put up a post, and actually I don't think he put it in his post. He sent me a private Facebook message. But he normally gets he got a paid in full amount, which he doesn't normally ever get. Right? So normally people will pay on a fortnightly basis. He got the whole 12-week program paid up front, and it was quicker and easier. So that helps his cash flow. So whatever metric that you measure, it could be average dollar per sale, part payments, full payments, deposits paid, decisions, appointments that cancel or don't cancel. The key metrics that you measure, can you please bring them to Thursday or email them through to me? It'd be really, really good. Worst case scenario, bring them on Thursday. If you can email them to me. And I just want to keep a track on how we go with those throughout these 4 weeks. All good? Love your work, team. I'm going to rock and roll. When I end this, we'll give you the options to record it first. So just follow the prompts on your Zoom link. That way you can download this onto your laptop or into the cloud, however you manage your systems on the back end. Awesome, team. Love your work. And I'll see you on Thursday lunchtime for you, morning for me.
Thanks,
take care. My pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Peter.